Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of July 10, 2016. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Conversation today with Ethan. But first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week 15. I wrote this one 2 years ago. Verse 15. Something in this outer world bewitches me, makes me pause in my narrow pursuit, makes me stand awed, charging me with strength I could not give myself. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse, verse 15a. Though I would push on, the dazzling world has stunned me, and beauty pours in, flood divine, to strengthen now what I, in my haste, had too long neglected. Yeah, Ethan and I have never met, but we talked over Skype. He had just finished a ocean voyage, and he was up a mountain, so pretty active guy, friend of Faith's. Anyway, thank you, Ethan. Thanks for talking. Here you go.
I started from the sailboat down at the ocean, and the mountains just rise right out of the sea.
Nice.
And so from where I'm standing, I can see, you know, I'm up at snow level, up at 3,000 feet. Tree line up here starts about 2,700 feet or so.
Okay.
And so the mountains are kind of squat, but it gives this perspective, nonetheless, of being up in the mountains. It's spectacular.
Nice. I had a call to live there. Ketchikan is nearby there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had a bush plane when I was in my 20s, and I talked to a guy who said, man, you should live in Ketchikan. You should take people around with your plane. You'd have a great life. And I almost did that.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
You never know why you don't do or do certain things, but I've had a pretty good life otherwise.
So, yeah, you know, we get follow our gravitational pull, even though
that's right.
There are many things for one's life to be drawn into.
So
you get to make a choice, yeah.
You're on top of a mountain. Are you just having pleasure everywhere you go, or are you actually working for somebody? What are you doing?
I am just out for pleasure. This trip started for me about the 30th of March.
Right, and now it's middle of June, yeah.
Yeah, and so left on a sailboat, a 27-foot sailboat, from the southern coast of Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Sailed up here.
Nice. With a crew or just by yourself?
It's my friend's boat, Corey, and then his wife, April.
Wow. I've always imagined being on the ocean and having the huge, well, the feeling of immensity. And then they say that you can have the greatest thoughts of your life on the ocean. Or I guess it shows what kind of person you are, whether you are looking at the gas gauge and checking the weather, or whether you're going, oh, my God, this is so profound, you know.
Yeah. What's this quote that I stumbled upon that I really like? One cannot know oneself without the present moment.
Oh, yes.
That really, especially for this trip, kind of sums it up, because what I found with being on the ocean, just like you said, it brings this mindset. You know, just being on a boat out in the ocean, you got to be really clever. You got to check, you know, the weather, check the tides. And because of the tides, brings certain currents. And so it brings this sense of self with being on this thing that's always changing. You're in this world that is always changing, and it kind of forces you to be really present.
Very practical. It's very practical on the one hand. Like you say, all the details have to be just right.
Yeah.
And you're completely lost in a certain sense. You're totally at the mercy of the wind and the waves.
It's very captivating. It's really a profound experience, especially being up here and going around all the islands and just where the mountains reach the sea. It's just incredible.
Do you think, I mean, people would say what you're doing is brave or risky. Would you say that you had passed through some death in your life where you said, okay, now from now on, I'm not ever going to worry about death again? Or do you think people are just born without that need to, you know, to have to pass through a threshold moment of, okay, now I've gone through death. Now I don't ever have to worry again? Because you're doing something that most people would say is pretty damn risky. And yet you don't, you're not suffering from fear. You're not suffering from worry about it. You're enjoying it.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, that is a very, very good question, Jack. Very good question.
Did you pass through a death at one time, or does it just happen to be that you're that kind of person in the first place?
You know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I think every day I've been able to discover who I am and remember who I am.
Nice.
And so there's this sense of remembering this curiosity in life that guides me like a compass.
Yeah.
But through that, I've had experiences with certain choices that have brought me to having those sorts of experiences, which make me not take my life for granted. And also seeing other people who I love in my life who've passed and dealing with what kind of emotions that death can bring.
Yeah.
You know, to answer your question the best that I can is that with my my current endeavors right now being on the sailboat, you know, it's not quite different than how I live my life in general. With a lot of things that people say, like, you know, wow, you're really brave, you're courageous, that kind of encapsulates everything that I do and what people look at me as. And it's something that I really enjoy, letting the mysterious future unfold. And that can be scary.
I mean, freedom is a scary thing. That's why people have a real trouble with it.
Yeah, and I like to put myself in the path of the mysterious and of nature. You know, being in nature for me is so profound, and I've learned so much just by observing and by being in silence and communicating with what's around me and letting things communicate with me.
And this feeling you said you had of, the phrase born again has been misused, but to really feel every day that this is my day, this is me alive today, that I think that goes with the death experience, that if you do live through a death, you then will never take a life for granted. You will never take your life for granted after that moment. And that really is a being born again every day.
Yeah, it's just not taking one's life for granted. I mean, it's for me, I cannot go on every day without doing the things that I know that I love to do.
Yeah. Have you solved?
And I feel really lucky to have found those certain things and to know myself at this point where I don't have to question the things that I do, but I just go out and do them and I try to find harmony within myself.
It sounds like you solved this problem humans have of purpose, that many people are looking for their purpose, and they, first of all, they don't even know that they have such a thing or if there is such a thing. But if they do have the feeling there is a purpose, they feel that they don't have it, they haven't found it. And yet it's such a simple thing when you do discover it, like I think you have. It's the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's very true. And I have to say that one finds their purpose with following their curiosity. I think we are all curious about something. And if we're not curious, if we don't know what we're curious about, all we got to do is just step out that door and things will come.
I wonder if you've noticed a habit of having an interest in the world. I was trying to tell people that that's the best habit to acquire, of being interested, either with the person you're with, or the book you're reading, or the plant at your feet, or the ocean, that if you can get a habit of being interested, then your life is wide open. Everything is just sun and glorious experience after experience simply by the fact that you have the habit of being interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that very true. Very true. But, you know, it comes and goes. There's been many times, many things that I've been interested in. And then, you know, I think it's kind of the way of the world that a lot of things aren't sustainable, especially when you find those habits that you like. I think things come and go. And I think it's really important to find, at least for me, many things which I can go from one to another and I can go back to and find the reason why I love that thing in the first place. Because I think it's really easy to sit down with something and have it be a part of your life, and then you kind of lose that spark, if that makes sense.
It does.
I think many things are supposed to be put down, and not forgotten, but just put down, and then when you come back to it, you find a sense of pride and love for that thing.
I think we tend to agree that the one human that we pick as our partner is the only thing we don't put down. It's very hard to find that human, of course. And you hear these stories about how it's possible to have this special relationship with this one person that you don't ever put down. But I think of every other thing, every other talent, every other skill I have, I agree with you completely. But then with this one person, you know, I really wanted to see. I was always having new relationships. And then I found someone when I was in my 30s. And I said, you know, I want to see what it's like to not have anyone else but that person. I'd like to see what it's like to have one person. And so in a way, that's my new experience, is to have someone constantly forever. But every other thing, I'm totally with you. I put the book down. I've got 8 books around the house. I've got 5 instruments, 5 instruments. I've 3 or 4 different jobs. And, you know, I'm always trading off. Whenever I'm in love with this, I pick it up. And whenever I'm done with it, I put it down. But I don't know if you found a person yet that you really think I should stick with that one person. Because it's kind of a weird thing. I think only humans do that, or very few animals do that.
Since you bring it up.
I don't know anything about it either.
I have found somebody.
Yeah.
It's this commitment of knowing that you are there to help each other and to guide each other, to guide that person, this soulmate, into being the best, like kind of helping them tend their garden as they are tending yours, and helping them be the best person they can be. Yeah. And just like so many people know, relationships are really hard.
Really hard, yeah.
Very hard. They are worth it because you find this person that makes you think outside of your own box.
It's certainly a weird thing to think that my wishes have a reflection with someone else. You know, with my particular partner, it happened that both of us felt the other one was way beyond us, that I really saw her as this angel kind of a being that I would never be good enough for. And so I really tried to straighten up my act to be good enough. And it turned out that she was being the same with me. And so, in a way, we've been climbing up toward each other for many decades now. It's really weird that two people can do that with each other.
That's incredible. Yeah. You know, it's an incredible thing, and that's how that stairway. That's exactly how I feel. She's so much my angel. I feel her always above me, guiding me along, and, you know, her love is there, even though we're not together, which is the hardest part.
Yeah. Have you played with ideas of other lives, and you've known this person, either that this is the first time you've known this person, or this person is someone you've been with many times, or I don't know. I've got this group. I feel like I've got a group of people on Earth. When I meet them, for example, if I met you, I'd probably go, man, you're my friend. I know you right now, you know? And And so there's this group that I'm with, but then there's also this person who's a particular special relationship. I don't know if you've felt this with people, that there are real threads that go life to life, and you're just holding this one this time and you're picking up those this time, but these people just keep coming in and going out, life after life. And then this special person fits in there somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely believe in that, and it's really interesting that you bring that up. There are those people, you know, we use this phrase as strangers. You know, people are strangers, people yeah. that we don't. Yeah. People that we do not know are strangers. And the way that I have kind of started looking at people is that they're familiar strangers. I may not know them right then and there, but as soon as I communicate with them and they communicate with me, there's a certain bond. With lovers in my life,
yeah.
I feel like this connection goes beyond the life that I live right now.
Yeah.
And there's this pull, and it's mysterious. And as much as you try to question and try to find answers, it's just this feeling within yourself. Even though meeting this person and I wanted to be with this person, I don't want to be away, but I still had this commitment of going on this trip and sailing. And you know, I communicated that with her. She let me go. She yeah. said, yeah, you know, go on this trip and I will be here waiting for you. And to have someone like that, I've yeah. never had anybody express
so
that
cool.
to me.
That's
usually
so cool.
it's okay. Well, you know, if your
yeah.
ideals and plans for the future don't coordinate with me, then, you know, I'll see you when I see you.
Yep.
I'm learning this yeah. thing within myself where I really miss this person. And yeah. I don't think I've ever missed anybody more in my entire life.
Very cool.
For me, I've been kind of I can disattach myself emotionally sometimes and just disappear. I disappear in the woods and I just yeah. and then I come back, and it's been really different, you know, along with, you know, sailing and being with the whales and the dull porpoises swimming around, I also have these thoughts of love.
Yeah.
This angel above me.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm being in two places at once, but I'm in this present moment, this beautiful moment, and I'm thinking about this person that's significant to me.
Yeah. I mean, part of that might be just a romanticism, and I just read Don Quixote again, and this amazing guy, he's a nut, but he, like all, like all the other knights of his day, he needed to think of a woman. He needed to have a woman to think of in order to be strong. And so he kind of just picks a woman who didn't even know him, Dulcinea del Toboso. He just thinks of her constantly, and he's always doing his acts in her name and because of her beauty. And we know as the reader that she doesn't even know he exists. So part of what you're feeling, I think, is a human feeling of having someone makes life better, and we can romanticize it a bit. But then when we come back and meet them, actually meet them again, we realize, you know, they've been doing that to us too. And it just becomes this really very odd thing that two people can be bigger than two people somehow. I just again and again am amazed that knowing another person can make life bigger and richer and deeper, whether you're with them, whether you're with them or not. It's very weird.
Yes, and it's the meaning that love, that love brings and gives us.
Yep.
You know, I've looked at myself being, you know, like I have romantic tendencies. I just looked off in the northwestern direction of where I'm standing on this snow slope.
Yes,
and there is about a dozen mountain goats.
Yeah.
Great white mountain goats, and they're all grazing on this green, on this alpine hill slope.
Wonderful. It makes every step is rich, every breath is deep. I think the step beyond love, I think there is a step beyond love, that the wise man gets to that level, the saint, where they get this feeling of love from life itself. I think we don't have any love. We have maybe love of our parents. Then we have the childish love with our sexual escapades. Then we finally find someone. We have this committed love for decade after decade. But then even above that, I think, is this next step of love of all things, love of life, love of creation. I don't know, but I can feel that.
Yeah,
we're both going toward that. I'm hoping we're both going toward that too.
Yeah, and that's a profound thing to share with someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of comes back full circle. You know, we were talking about death, and but also with kind of the things that we learn from love and how love can bring struggle. Love is a huge struggle, but you can't let death and you can't let love and the struggle that those things bring you down, because without those things, without that struggle, you can't define or bring meaning to life or anything.
I think that's what Don Quixote was aiming at, that because of the love of this woman, he could then be the great warrior that he wanted to be. He didn't have to fear the enemy. Because he had love, he was actually set free from life. He did not have to worry about the present moment anymore. He knew that he was freed from that. He had found the secret of life, and he could go forward. I like what you're saying. It's very nice. I love that.
Yeah, it's you know, and without experience, we have to go through the cycle to truly learn and to know anything. You know, when someone says something, it goes through one ear and right out the other. But then as soon as you actually go through the thing that they were telling you to avoid and you make this mistake, all of a sudden you hear their words again. And you're like, oh yeah, that's what they were trying to say. But you couldn't come to that realization without having that experience yourself.
Yeah. Thank you, Ethan. I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you very much. That was wonderful.
Yeah, you know, Jack, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, that was a pleasure. Thank you, Ethan. And thank you for listening. If you have a question or a comment, you can reach me at jackmills@mac.com or my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net, and I'll be back next week. Hope you will, too. Jack Brissett Mills. Bye-bye.